get comfortable and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Mick and Zoe Avery.
In the most natural way, we are able to cross the divide between our physical world and the non-physical world when my husband Mick deep trance channels an enlightened spirit called Gregory Hay, who has access to great knowledge and wisdom. And this week's show is about structures of the universe. And if you'd like to join us with a question related to our subject, the phone lines are open and we'd love to hear from you. It's toll-free numbers in the U.S. and Canada, and in the U.S. the number is 877-876-5227. In Canada it's 888-815-9756. And international callers, it's not toll-free, but it's not a long call, so it won't cost you too much. It's the number to call is 001-530-876-3222.
Hi, I'm Mick Avery. As well as Spirit's work on bbsradio.com, every Monday at 7 p.m. PST and Thursdays at 1 PST, we have another radio show which is called Spirit Teaching. You can hear that on artistfirst.com every Tuesday at 7 p.m. PST. If you'd like to know more about us, our books, CDs, book an Akashic reading, or perhaps any of the other diagnostic services that we have to offer, please go visit our website. First one is www.spirit-teaching.com and also live at spiritsworkradio.com. What we're able to do as spirit medium is to offer you the spirit world's perspective on the nature of our existence. And when I go into deep trance, Gregory Hay, who is the spokesperson for an educational group in the spirit world called the White Cloud Group, will borrow my body for the whole show. And I won't know about anything else that happens from that point, because my spirit and my consciousness are transported to somewhere else. Please do look at our websites for a better understanding of how we work and who we are, because we haven't got time to go through too much information at the beginning of each show, as it would take up way too much valuable time. So I'm going to say goodbye for now and leave the whole thing for you, Sylvie. And it should only really take a few seconds, hopefully, for Gregory to come through. Yeah, so thank you very much then.
I'm banking on it. Okay, Gregory had an earth life 300 years ago, but has continued to learn and evolve in the spirit world. And this is exactly what is open to each and every one of us when we pass to the spirit world. We can continue to grow and evolve and learn and educate ourselves. But now he comes back to share his wisdom with us for our benefit. And for the Earth's benefit, of course. The White Cloud Group, whom he represents, were formed to bring us knowledge that will hopefully steer us toward a more peaceful and harmonious future. They are made up of all kinds of scientific minds and scholars from all walks of life, as well as ordinary people. The information that we bring through them is without religious bias or political persuasion, and we believe in everyone's right to their own views and beliefs. Actually, on the show, we discuss everything that we've been programmed to believe and hopefully emerge from a fresh point of view that is more, maybe more applicable to life now, I guess. So it's basically we dissect and chat about whatever it is that hopefully you want to know. And we also do ask you, our listeners, if you have a suggestion for a show topic that you would like us to cover, a subject that you're interested in knowing more about, and then you email that to enq@spirit-teaching.com, and you can find out that email on Spirit Teaching, our Spirit Teaching website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com. And if you email the show subject and the topic, plus questions, hopefully, that would be really great, because then we're going to answer what it is exactly that you want to know. We wouldn't like to do a subject, show on a subject and then, you know, leave you wondering about a few questions that you had had in your mind. So send us whatever it is that you've got. You can send us a long list, whatever you want, and we will definitely get back to you, and we will definitely consider the show. We do most of the shows that we have suggestions for. But this one was actually suggested by Gregory himself, wasn't it, Gregory?
Yes, my dear friend. Hello, and with love and light, as always, blessings upon your pathway, dear friend.
Thank you. So we're going to talk about, or you're going to talk about, and we are going to discuss structures of the universe.
Yes, absolutely so. Welcome, my friend. So the situation is this. Alison Darby, presently cycling along the road of the A340 in a southerly direction, is presently unaware of the fact that at this present moment, in another state of consciousness, in an altered vibration from her cycling, from her physical body moving across the earth, there exists in one dimension nothing at all. That's a little bit of a problem for human physical beings to actually try to manipulate in the mind, that in another dimension there is nothing at all. If you try to think even past the extent of where your cells finish, you may observe situations in your physical life where you are surrounded by gases. Yes, of course you are. You are having a physical life. And so therefore, everything that surrounds you in your frame of reference, in your world, three-dimensional as it is, forms gases or liquid, if you happen to be in the sea, or immersed in your bath. You are surrounded by steam, or you are surrounded by water to a certain extent. If you are swimming in a swimming pool, you are surrounded by water, yet, actually, in a different dimension, of course, you are not. Structures of the universe. We need to bring you into understanding exactly what that means. So, we use the analogy of Alison Darby riding upon her bicycle, simply because she is just a normal little girl who actually has no other awareness other than she has to be in her house in approximately 5 minutes. The situation for her is that she has her lights on her bike, that she is quite carefree, observant of the traffic and everything else. The situation for her, however, is that her spirit is somewhat overjoyed yet perplexed too, because she continues along her pathway without a care in the world and yet is in some states quite nervous because she's on a road, and that means that she actually could be subject to someone else's altered behavior toward her. However, she's almost safe at home. Now, the condition of her and her physical life is actually one of sanctuary. Sanctuary, why is that? Sanctuary for the universe, for her spirit. Her spirit is not actually in the same dimension as her physical body. Exactly the same for you. Each individual. There you are, breathing, panting, or licking your lips, or eating food, drinking water, or drinking something else. Sucking in air and breathing it out again. Sucking in air and breathing it out. Consciously aware, perhaps, of some of the things going on in your mind, in your consciousness, and how that is actually supported by your activity or physical state. But also, you are intrinsically aware of perhaps other situations happening around you. Birds singing as they do. Or not. Perhaps it is silent outside. Perhaps you are in the middle of some musical experience or something like that. Or you're listening to someone else complaining about their food. It could be anything, couldn't it, to do with physical life. Yet here you are. And at any moment in time, you may turn within to your consciousness, to that beautiful aspect of self, if you can find it. There it is somewhere. Oh yes, it is. It's there somewhere, deep within the universal divide, yet it is a part of you, a part of your attachment, if you like. It is actually attached to you by an etheric bead, this thin sliver of which becomes a superhighway of the consciousness between your physical state and your spirit. There it is, exchanging information, energy, sensitivity, beauty, love, conditions of empathy and emotion that are brought about and driven by your conscious activity and your physical cell structure, your chemical interaction with the physical world, three-dimensional state, there it is. And yet, within the beauty of it, or the struggle of it, the animosity that you fear, the feel of fear, or the feel of contentment, all of this exchanged to your spirit, which remains in an altered universe, a different universe, not something of your makeup, but something completely and utterly different. Not ordinary, not like the ordinary day that you tend to become accustomed to in your physical life. But actually what is happening here, my dear friend, is that when you make this contact, when you bridge this gap between your physical state and your spirit through your etheric bead, you are raising your consciousness. You are coming into touch with a different aspect, a different dimension of the universe. And that really is not just the answer of it. It's just the beginning. Because in actual fact, babe, much of your physical life is dressed up in trying to accommodate that feeling, in trying to reach it. You struggle for hours and hours and hours in meditation, trying to raise your vibration, trying to feel love when none exists. Or maybe it does, and maybe you've been successful today. Usually, your success of being able to feel love is actually through interactivity between someone else or something else, something to do with your environment, something to do with the beauty that you behold within it. And yet what you are doing is you are actually ignoring all of the other consciousness, all of the other stream of beauty and love and adoration, all of the other stream of awareness and conscious activity of God. All of that is coming to you by your spirit. Your beautiful spirit. Regardless of whether you are a murderer, a thief, a plagiarist, whether you have an analytical mind or are dumb as a plank of wood, your beautiful spirit reigns supreme and exists there for you to make contact. There it is in a nutshell. Yet if you looked at all of the religions of the world, if you looked at every single situation which tries to drive you along into that direction, what it's actually doing is moving you away from it. Why? Quite simply because by you being becoming in touch with that power of the beauty of the universe within you. That beautiful, sublime energy of truth which exists, which is a part of God, friend, part of the creation of all life of the universe. The absolute purity is at your beck and call. And yet, most religions of the physical earth world try to tell you not to go there. Try to tell you to move away from it because it's dangerous. A lot of fear is imposed upon people in trying to make you fear-ridden so that you will not go there. Instead, you'll stick your fingers in your eyes and think of some other icon, something else to fill your life other than that beautiful, beautiful crescent of energy, which is just so beautiful. It will make you weep.
Okay, so what does the spirit, when somebody goes back to the spirit world, you say that the spirit is always beautiful.
Yes.
Of any sort of person.
Yes.
What's the difference between, what do you see when, if two spirits came back to the spirit world after passing from here, one was a murderer and one was a somebody who had been a wonderful, giving, loving person, had never hurt anybody in their
yes.
life. What do you see when they pass? What does their spirit look like?
An interesting point, friend. What actually they look like is that the murderer wears a murderer's hat. The murderer has an ugly consciousness, which is brought back by the spirit like some large sore, like some errant, not bug, but much larger than that, something which has, in fact, infected that spirit. And that's what we see. And what we also see, my dear friend, is that if the two come back at the same time, that the beautiful, loving being will try to comfort the murderer. The murderer's consciousness.
Mm. So is the murderer's spirit, does it look different? Like, is it dulled? Do you know what I mean? Is it dark and the other one light?
Well, actually,
vibrant.
The spirit within it is absolutely still pure. But what happens is that the murderer's consciousness covers the beautiful spirit so that the beautiful spirit cannot break free. It's clothed in this large, insufferable energy which is depleting it, living off of it, and also trying to drive it into negativity. So the spirit of this murderous being is actually still pure, still in its pure state, of course, because it never altered its state. Don't forget that the murderer has adorned this arrogant and evil or grossly negligent energy
mm-hmm.
because of the consciousness, which has evolved through lack of contact with the spirit. And that, of course, is usually, regardless of what the spirit tries to bring about or tries to do, but actually what happens is that instead of the spirit actually breaking through and communicating with that physical being, the physical consciousness carries on its way, on its own selfish direction. So does that mean to say then that the spirit of this beautiful state of light actually is at fault then for not actually communicating with this selfish being?
Mm-hmm.
No, it's not at fault, because otherwise, if it was, you could say that you actually, as a physical being, do not have free will. If it was that for every being, their contact with their spirit meant that it reigned supreme in every being, you would never have war, would you? You would never have an unkind word or an unkind deed. You would never have any situation or sleight of hand or arrogance or whatever it was.
Yes. Are there planets that you can have a physical existence on that are like that?
Yes, absolutely. So there are many, many of them. Most beings who actually have an OPEC existence are in that very form of nature. That is a spiritual paradigm. It is a situation where you are loved and blessed and you bless everyone that you meet, where your energy is of a vibration so equivalent to purity that it is only slightly removed from that which you understand the creation of all life to extend to. So in this situation, friend, we are not rambling inanely. What we're doing is we are trying to show you that the situation between your physical life and the spirit is a dimension away, and trying to understand and move your consciousness into accepting that what you perceive in physical life really does not exist in another dimension. It's just a different vibration away. So what you see Alison Darby riding upon her bike, actually she's got off it now, and because she's home. And the situation for her is that she's going through her gate with her light still shining on her bike, and she's moving to the side of the house. And this situation is, however, that although it is dark where she is home safe. Now, the situation of her spirit is that she is enlightened by the fact that she's made her sanctuary. And so she is overcome also with the feelings of love and aspiration as she greets her mother on the doorstep.
Okay. But we knew that it was going to be bad here before we came here, okay, didn't we? Most people knew that it was going to be a rough ride.
Well, not necessarily. I have to say, there are some people, of course, born with a silver spoon their mouth or a plum or whatever.
Okay, but even those people get illnesses and they do. Everybody suffers from negativity of some description in varying degrees.
Yes.
At some time in their life.
That is true.
So nobody really totally and utterly swans through it. I know there's people that are far luckier than others. But we, you know, in general, we knew that it wasn't going to be a bed of roses here all of the time.
Yes.
So presumably we came and rose to the challenge to have this physical life. Everybody who is having a physical life. These planets that you were talking about, where it is all loving and that sort of thing. What is the purpose of them having their physical life if everybody's really nice? I mean, because you've said before, haven't you, that the reason why we're here is to learn how to love unconditionally.
Yes.
Each other. And
that
is true. Yeah. So if it's all loving on these other planets, what is their purpose? What would be their purpose?
To continue to generate and understand other gifts of love in other forms of life existence, which are completely different to that of the spirit. That's the point. Otherwise, spirit, if there were no confrontations, if there were no situations that they had to overcome, that spirit had to overcome, that doesn't mean to say that you have to overcome situations of negativity in order to grow. I'm not saying that at all. But what I'm saying is that it's a matter of creative understanding of the differences between different beings. Not every being is the same. In fact, there are no two beings who are the same, because each individual physical life is completely different to somebody else's. Even if you have two mice who are genetically engineered, you would still have two different lives, two different aspirations of the mind. They would not behave in an identical way. Quite simply, because their focus is different. Their analogy is different. Their temperament, the gulf between them, the two mice, genetically the same, yet could be worlds apart. Quite simply, not because of the space which is between them, but because of the fact that within the universe, they are like on two different planes of existence. That is something else that you have to understand when trying to view the structure of the universe. Within every structure, within everything that you see, in the physical world, you balance it on probability that everything is interrelated. Yes, it is. However, when dealing with the consciousness setting, and how that actually came about, how that actually grew and became created, you must see that other pathways have an engineering acceptance, have an input, if you'd like, into how that creation thinks and how it is organized. Now, if you look at the various aspects of the structure of the universe, where you are sitting, for example, you are sitting at a table. I am sitting at a table, but I'm not really. I'm sitting and standing. I'm also kneeling. I'm also praying. I am also consciously aware of the actual fact of motability within this physical body dimension. I am also thinking and understanding the consciousness healing which needs to be done in Grimsby. Quite simply because this person who fell off a ladder and has injured themselves. So I am consciously thinking that leg must be repaired. Thankfully, he wasn't up very high. Now, the situation also is that I am thinking in terms of my own consciousness and how that can relate to this being's, the instrument's, physical state and his cellular structure, his actual augmenting of actual physical cells, the synapse within the brain, how I can get this bit to work, that bit to work, how I can make his finger do something other than that which may be described as normal. I can also understand, when I observe you, about your auric field, because I'm consciously aware, and also because I can see interdimensionally exactly where you sit and where the situations of symptoms are, perhaps to do with your relativity and how you feel. This is not because I am in the physical universe and I am manipulating the physical body, or that any of the others in the spirit group are manipulating the physical body, because it perhaps suits our purpose. We're not manipulating the legs and feet at this moment in time. They're just stuck together, and we've left it like that because it suits our purpose. Now, if you are actually wanting to know what it is in a different dimension to this particular stage and setting, I could say there is nothing at all. Absolutely nothing. In the eighth dimension, nothing exists. It's a void. And it's a void in a different dimension of interstellar space and relativity. Quite simply, because a planet nor a star exists at this point. It's actually a vacuum of space where nothing exists. Not even me.
Is that like a black hole? Is that what black holes are? No,
not at all. No, no. This is just a part of space where, look, there goes a particle of dust. And there it is, right before us. But it actually hardly moves at all, because there is no wind, there is no activity, there is nothing to suggest that there is or should be a pull or a draw or a push of energy. There are no shear forces at work, so the particle of dust barely moves. And yet, if I wave his hand across it, it still doesn't move. And the hand, the physical hand that you see, actually moves straight through it. Or it moves straight through the hand. Whichever you see it. Whichever way that happens to be processed in your consciousness. And how you try to struggle with it. That's what I'm saying, really. The structures of the universe are as such that when you really try to apply your mind into when you talk randomly about some other structure or some other dimension, do you really understand what you're talking about? Probably not. Quite simply because human beings are blasé with words, yet fail to really identify with even the simplest form of altered state. That's how much they gravitate toward it.
Well, so much is limited to our imagination, and we are limited by our human minds, our human brain, aren't we?
Yes.
And mind.
Yes.
So this is hopefully what all of this is about and how you're going to help.
Well, it is, of course. Yes. And so, you see, so you have this situation then of where you are thinking of yourself in this three-dimensional field and setting,
mm-hmm.
and then you are in observance, perhaps, that at times, when you are asleep, you have out-of-body experiences. You move desperately across the universe in some hidden dream state, or you move at some breakneck speed, which is coupled with images and colors and of a like of prismic effect, which has no bearing or relationship upon anything you've ever seen in your physical life before. And that is created because you move across from one dimension to another in a very simple way by allowing your consciousness to join with your spirit and actually move away from your physical body. Does that mean to say that your spirit has actually traveled anywhere? In a physical dimension, not at all. Certainly, your physical state is still there, but what about your consciousness? Hasn't that travelled somewhere? Well, indeed, it may well have done, but has it travelled somewhere else upon the planet, somewhere else upon your solar system, somewhere else upon your universe, or out there, or in through and into a different dimension altogether? And it may, in that respect, not have actually travelled any distance at all, but have travelled in a time or when. We prefer to call it in a when. So, as the consciousness travels in a when, we can see quite clearly that the when experience is determined by perhaps past actions or knowledge concerning the physical consciousness and how that has attained that conscious ability, as to vis-a-vis which perhaps period of time allocated to that human field of understanding. And agriculture, perhaps, or perhaps it's to do with war, or perhaps it's just to do with something retained within the physical brain of the conscious being, and then translated into some other outer journey or inner journey of when by your spirit and in tow with your consciousness. This means to say then that as you experience different force fields or different inclinations of your journey through your spirit state, does it mean to say then that you are at risk when you do this? Does it mean to say that you are at risk, perhaps as religions would have it, of the devil coming to you and taking over your physical body? That might be something of the fear of preoccupancy, which actually dominates your heritage, dominates your consciousness, and leaves you struggling, wriggling, like a worm on a hook, trying to decide whether this is actually a free will experience, or whether you would rather come back now, thank you.
Okay, you're listening to Spirit Guide Gregory Hay, being channeled by Deep Trance Medium Mick Avery. If you'd like to join us with a question to Gregory about the structures of the universe or out-of-body experiences, I mean, you know, it's quite a broad spectrum conversation that we're having here. The number is free phone in the U.S. It's 877-876-5227, and also Canada, it's 888-815-9756. International callers, it's not toll-free, but it's only a quick call, 001-530-876-3222. Now, out-of-body experiences are out of our control. I know that you can actually purposefully do astral travelling in that, but that sort of thing. But we'll talk about them happening haphazardly to people, and many people have had them. Some are, some seem like visions, some seem more like an experience, a feeling.
Indeed.
How are we to know whether it's say our spirit friends bringing us this information as in a picture form to us, and as opposed to us actually traveling out of body experience?
Well, what will actually happen with a traveling out of body experience is that you will have a process, an understanding of volume of movement. So it means to say that you will actually have the sensation of moving away from your physical body. You will actually have a control not unlike the sensation of being in a motor vehicle that you have on your physical life, but something that you actually propels you very quickly. Now, so it may well be, however, that even in that propulsion, for many people, for example, when they first have an out-of-body experience, or even a near-death experience, actually, the first sensation that they actually feel and visits to them is coming face-to-face with themselves. And that, believe it or not, can actually be quite a frightening experience. I'm not saying that when you look in the mirror that you are horrified by the face that you see. Of course not. But what I'm saying is that for many people, they actually struggle with it when they're actually face-to-face with it, with themselves. Partly because what they see is actually the self, which is actually with the emotions and also with the entire life form, which is in front of you. So that you may well be experiencing situations of fragility to do with that vision. Now, so does that mean to say that this is an out-of-body experience that you don't want to have? No, I'm not saying that. The point is that it is usually generally human beings' own inner fears which actually gravitate, and then the anxiety overrides the whole situation and the person jumps back in their physical body again and the experience is ended.
It's interesting that in my out-of-body experiences, I often go feet first.
Oh, yes.
Feet first. Through the wall, you know it's
yes.
coming. Oh,
yes.
You know, here we go. And it's amazing because you're conscious that it's happening to that extent, but you're not in control or aware of your actual physical surroundings.
Yes.
Personally, but anyway, but then, well, we can talk about that. But also then, the actual travel part of it tends to be head first. It seems to change round then. So
yes,
you start off going out that way. Which is, actually, I have gone out through a wall of the property head first as well before now.
Yes.
But, so what's all that about?
Well, the point is, of course, that as you actually do it, if you're going out feet first, you are actually seeing the wall coming toward you.
Mm-hmm.
And that, of course, brings a certain state of heightened anxiety, particularly, of course, if you have not done this before. However, it actually becomes that it's obvious that you don't actually feel any physical discomfort of actually going through the wall, unless, of course, you become ultimately paranoid and schizophrenic over the whole situation, in which case, of course, you probably won't be able to actually manage it and you'll be brought back again.
But you do feel something.
Yes. Usually, it's almost like a sort of a pulling sensation, or it's like rope being rubbed along your legs as you move through the wall.
Yes, it's a bit like going through one of those rice paper hoops or something that dogs used to jump through at the circus. I mean, you know, it doesn't hurt.
I've never jumped through one, my friend.
You
I wouldn't
feel
know.
Something. You do feel something.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
But it's just so yeah, okay. So how and why? Because if it's your etheric body going out, you surely wouldn't feel anything.
Now, that is what you would think. However, that is actually a situation which is an occasion of the mind, of your consciousness. It's not actually happening. It's what you think to do with the residual energy of fear that you have about yourself. What you would find, my dear friend, is that the more that you accomplish this art of having an out-of-body experience, particularly when moving through a solid wall, that you understand exists in physical life, that what would actually happen is that gradually that feeling would dissipate. And however, I am well aware that some people never lose that feeling. And that's actually because it is sometimes regarded as a state of familiarity, and it can be a comforting situation for the physical being. And alternatively, it may well be that the physical being or the consciousness never actually fully releases the fear of themselves as they move through that different dimension. Because that's actually what you're doing. When you are moving through the wall of your room, you're actually moving into yet another dimension.
Yes, well, presumably you've already moved into it when get to the wall.
Yes, my dear friend, but what I'm saying is you then move into another.
Do we go into this eighth dimension in these experiences?
Sometimes you have short interludes into the eighth dimension, yes, absolutely so. But they are only usually very short. The reason why they are so short is because actually within the eighth dimension you cover a very great distance in no passage of time at all.
So which dimension do we tend to go in then?
Usually, to begin with, it is to do with the fifth or sixth. And the fifth is actually to do with, perhaps you may have had these situations or states of mind where you are introduced to something by your spirit. Now, many people actually come upon this dimension when they are listening to some sort of a guided meditation or something like that. That can oftentimes be what they actually experience because the situation seems so very real and they are greeted by their spirit friend, perhaps or perhaps not, perhaps by somebody else in the spirit world who is dressed as their spirit friend. And what their experience will be is actually usually to do with something to do with the consciousness mind and the consciousness awareness and ability, perhaps addressing certain situations or needs or problems, or maybe resolution of certain artifacts or aspects of physical life. This too is a way for you to move from and use the tool of this ultra-dimensional or multi-dimensional fields of existence, which actually then help you to understand oneself perhaps a little clearer.
So it's like a little lesson, really. We come back.
Yes.
We learn something, but we're not necessarily aware of what it is, and may not be a no, we may not be aware until we go to the spirit world.
Well, that is true too. After all, not all lessons that you have or all situations which come upon the consciousness at any time, at any one time during the physical existence, is necessary to do with your physical life now. That, unfortunately, is something which many people actually, they have this sort of strange blinkered view that everything that they have and everything that they experience is all to do with the consciousness now and all to do with your free will living experience and what you're to do with the lessons you're supposed to learn and all of this and that. But actually, it's not. That's a complete fallacy.
Well, even dreams, this is why people get hung up on dreams.
Yes, absolutely so. I don't know why they do it. I really don't. Quite simply because so much of it is actually to do with your life in the spirit world once you pass and isn't actually anything to do with your physical life now.
Not any of them? Maybe some.
No, I'm not saying that, I'm not saying that it's to do with all of the dreams or out-of-body experiences that you have, not at all. I'm saying, but at least some of them are actually nothing at all to do with your present life, but actually to do with when you finally return to the spirit world. Mm.
Dreams can't be that appropriate. Because, well, the thing is, when you have bad dreams, it's usually, I mean, continuous bad dreams. I remember when I went through a period in my life when I was quite a disturbed person for a while.
Absolutely.
And my dreams were awful, absolutely awful. So, you know, to actually read too much into that, apart from the fact that, hey, you know, you've got to get yourself better and get back on track.
Yes, but that's a completely different situation and scenario.
Okay. Go on then.
The whole point and problem which actually comes and surfaces with people who have these out-of-body experiences yet may actually be related to situations of self-harm or situations of harm to oneself by other outside or external forces which appear to be pivotal in one's life at that time. These are situations which are actually to do with the lack of or certain aspects to do with relationships in physical life, to do with perhaps a lack of being understood, or to do with certain problems and issues which are seemingly unattached to the physical being, that they are existing in this inability to actually deal with certain specific problems. And then what happens is that they actually become illuminated in a completely different configurement, or configuration, so that actually what you then go through are these objects of absolute chaos that you find yourself unable to actually extract yourself from. But these situations are very often, although they appear to feel as though they are in the situations of different dimensional space or that kind of thing, but actually what happens is that it is actually existing within a different time space.
Okay. Yes, thank you.
Hello, friend.
Hey, Gregory, it's Nina. How are you?
Hello. Do we have a caller?
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
No.
Can you hear me?
Very well, then.
Okay. Okay. So when we're taking on these journeys, these out-of-body experiences, you said before that we have our doorkeeper with us at all times.
Yes.
Okay. Do other beings watch this happening to us from the spirit world? Are other people involved in it as well?
Yes, oftentimes they are. Absolutely so, yes. Quite. And the situation will be that as the development continues, are you saying particularly to do with these difficult experiences that people have?
No. Good. Just out-of-body experiences,
okay,
where you're traveling across, whatever, somewhere, you're having a great time. You know you're having an out-of-body experience, enjoying it.
And something is beautiful.
Yes,
transpiring.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Are other people and beings around you as well?
Of course, yes. And oftentimes it will be that the actual different dimensional state or vibration at which you are experiencing these revelatory conditions to your consciousness generally tend to be because you have perhaps returned to your soul group or something like that, because that's to do with the specific vibration of love and intent, which is so very different from the experiences of love which exist in physical life. And that perhaps is a part of the actual portent or the continual existence, if you like, of your soul group vibration and how that will ultimately feel when you eventually return. That doesn't mean to say that it's trying to entice you back early or that it's trying to make you leave your physical life behind or anything so sadistic as that. Of course not. It is, however, there to help you as a solitary being, if you like, to understand that you are not alone, that there are many other beings within the universe that you don't see in different dimensions which exist alongside of you, which actually share in a part of your life, which help you grow and to move beyond the existence of the three-dimensional space in which you live.
Now, I know that all of these experiences are completely individual and individual to everybody has them.
Yes.
But are the, you know, sometimes you see beings when you are having, you're traveling and maybe you're observing some situation, you see people or whatever. Do these people know that you're observing them?
Well, that depends on if it's their business to know. Or it may well be that they are actually also in an altered dimension which actually they may not understand or be aware of your presence. Quite simply because you are actually observing them in a different dimension to yourself.
Mm. Could they know, though? Is it a possibility?
It is a possibility, yes. Mm. But it depends, again, on whether they determine that even in their knowing, that they perhaps decide to answer you or to actually communicate at all.
Mm.
That, after all, is to do with their free will. So it may be that you're struggling with the situation, shouting or whatever, and it's like nothing comes out. I expect that many people, like, from your side of life, have actually had similar experiences. It's like you're actually seeing or a part of a film that you are actually involved in, and yet it appears that you cannot actually have an effect upon, a cause, an effect.
Mm. Who decides to take you on these journeys? Who decides that?
It depends entirely upon what kind of journey it is. If it is a beautiful, uplifting journey, you are always accompanied by your doorkeeper in any event, whatever the kind of journey is prevailing at the time. Some of it will be brought about by your heightened consciousness and awareness, perhaps to do with your journey of love, or to do with how you have raised your vibration that day, or that moment. It really is that there are no one set of figures, or one set of explanation for one journey fits all. It just doesn't operate in that way. It's in fact a multiplicit situation of a very complex series of instigations and creations of energy that actually allow you to simply move through the universe. You see, to you, it's just like you are swanning from one place to another. And that you don't really realize how it is that you're moving at the terrific rate or at the very almost snail's pace as you move through the vista or scenery of your impression.
How come some people have them more than others? Some people never have them, have never even had one.
Yes, that is very true.
Why would this be happening? Is it because their doorkeeper would know that person possibly wouldn't like it?
Well, that's possible too. And it also may be, of course, that they don't, that person doesn't actually regard that as a possibility. And so if they don't, sometimes it won't happen.
Hmm.
That can be the orientation as well, you see. It really is a matter of, let's say then, you have a physical human being and that they don't actually have any connotation, they don't have any realization at all of their being, the spirit world, or any of this, that they're just a slab of meat that happens to be walking around. Perfectly true, of course, except for the fact that you do have spirit.
Yes, well, but it can be a wake-up call. It can open people up to the spirit world, so maybe that's the thing. I mean, why can't more people be taken on these journeys to wake them up to something else?
Yes, but the point is that it may not be something which their density or their vibration index would allow them to have. That doesn't mean to say that it would only be the preoccupancy or the ability of those who are nice and beautiful beings or who are trying their best in their physical life to actually have out-of-body experiences or even near-death experiences. What about those?
Well,
and the conditions of that situation, you see?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, I think that we should talk about that,
yeah,
too.
Well, we've only got a couple of minutes left, so
yes,
that's
absolutely
probably
so.
Going to take longer. But I mean, the situation with... So you're saying that if somebody is maybe too negative, because I'm obviously talking about people who I would like to think, if they only knew about the spirit world, they might maybe change themselves around, obviously.
Yes, but
so you can't actually physically do that to them?
No, quite so, because it may well be completely out of their range of experience or understanding or even ability to grasp. They may just see it coming from their position or their consciousness setting as being something of a dance with the devil, you see.
you could, it could happen, but it probably wouldn't have a good outcome.
Well, possibly. The connotation is, friend, that if you have a person who has a closed mind already, how are you going to possibly open it? Are you going to open it by, first of all, delivering them an out-of-body experience that they actually don't like? How is that going to improve their life? No,
well,
it won't. What you will need to do is to try to energize the situation for that being in order for him or her to change their vibration, to actually create love, to have love within them. That's not saying that people who do not believe in the spirit world do not have love.
No, I think there's lots of things I can say to that, but it's going to be next week because
Very
we have
well.
To dash now.
Yes. Goodbye. And
Thank
may
you,
love, as always, be upon your pathway.
Thank you.
God bless.
And we hope you join us again next week and, well, Monday and Thursday on the wonderful BBS Radio on Spirit's Work. Until next time, be peaceful, be positive and focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.
Hi, everybody out there. This is Xenia Seberg. And who are you? Because I'm there no matter where you are. Because this is Dr. Fred Bell's show on BBS Radio.
Health, Science, and Energy show on BBSRadio.com.
We'll make you sound better than you sound right now.
Well, that's a good thing. For me, it's like midnight here. I'm going to bed. Which doesn't matter to you guys. Aren't you ready? Stay tuned.
Hi, I'm Sylvie Avery. Join Mick and I on the Spirit's Work show for the most unique and fascinating hour of communication with the spirit world you're ever likely to hear. Every Monday at 7 p.m. PST and Thursday at 1 p.m. PST. Visit our website at www.spirit-teaching.com to find out more about us. Buy our books online from our site. See our ever-growing list of audio CDs on subjects from this show. Have an Akashic reading from your book of life. Uncover truth and knowledge to empower you through your life. Direct from the spirit world, spirit guide Gregory Hay offers a personal reading by email. Just visit us at www.spirit-teaching.com or you can find us on bbsradio.com.